You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
You know, that reminds me of something that I don't think we think about enough as disciples, or something I don't think we think about as much as the early disciples in the Bible did. And that's the fact that Jesus is coming back at a moment that we really have no idea. You know that Jesus is coming back one day, and we really have no idea when. Jesus has prepared a room in heaven for us, and he's coming back to take us to be there with him. And we don't know when that is going to be. And I want you to turn to John chapter 14. And I want to talk about this morning a little bit, is the idea of Jesus coming back and it being at any moment. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is encouraging, isn't it? You know, Jesus has a room prepared in heaven for us. He's telling us, don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Why not? Because you can trust him. You can trust in me, he says. And you can trust that this life isn't it. I've got a room, I've got a home prepared in heaven for you for eternity. And I'm going to come back and take you there. And don't worry that this isn't true, because if it wasn't, I would have told you. I'm telling you this because it is true. I will come back for you to bring you to your room in heaven. You know, the title of my lesson this morning is "I Will Come Back." And that's a promise from Jesus that we can really take hold of, is that he is coming back for us. And I think that's something that we could all eagerly and excitedly look forward to. Amen? You know, I can remember the first time that I was left home alone. I don't know exactly how old I was, but I assume it was an age that was appropriate for my parents to have left me home alone. I grew up on a farm, and there was a big window overlooking this long driveway. And I just remember my parents left. I was home alone. Might have been 5 minutes. And right within the beginning of it, I remember getting on the couch, outlooking the window, wrapped up in a blanket, just crying, staring at the driveway, waiting for my parents to get back. And I can remember seeing their car coming down. They must have gotten the mail, honestly. That's probably what happened. But maybe it was just my mom and my dad was at work. I don't remember the situation. But I just remember seeing the car coming down the driveway, get up and running to the front door, and then them getting back and being so excited about them fulfilling their promise, which they must have said to me, "We'll be right back, don't worry." And there I was crying on the couch wondering if they would ever come home. And they came back, thank God. You know, there are some people that you want them to promise you they're coming back. And there's some people you don't want them to promise, "I'm coming back." Right? And as a kid, when your parents say, "Hey, we'll be right back," you want them to do that. You know, when you go out to eat and the waiter brings you your drinks and says, "I'll be right back with your food," you want them to uphold that promise, right? You know, when you bring a visitor to church or to Bible talk and they say, "I'm coming back," you want them to hold through with that promise. There's others that you don't want to promise they're coming back and to hold through on that promise. You know, at your job, if you have a really challenging customer and you deal with them maybe complaining or arguing with you, and then they say, "You know what, I'm coming back tomorrow," that's not something that you want. You know, I don't know about you guys, I don't want my dentist to tell me that I have to come back. You know, "Hey, you're going to have to come back next week to deal with this." I think the last person I'd want to tell me they're coming back is somebody who would break in and steal something from my house. You know, you got somebody break in the middle of the night and you're dealing with it and they leave and then they're like, "I'm coming back." You know, you wouldn't want that. You know, there's people you want to promise they're coming back. There's people you don't want to promise that. Fortunately, Jesus left us with this comforting and encouraging promise. "I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back to bring you to be with me forever in heaven." And I know that this idea of Jesus coming back to get me, to get us, and to bring us to heaven with him is not something that I think about that often. You know, do you guys think about that much? I know I don't. It doesn't pass through my mind too frequently. I get so focused on this life like it's all there is and there's not another one after it. But there is another life after this one, and that's what Jesus is trying to tell us here. You know, we can know as disciples that we gave our lives to a Lord who died for us, who wants us, and is coming back to bring us to be with Him in heaven. And like an excitedly and eagerly expecting parent, Jesus has prepared a room for you, for each of us in heaven. And I think if we could focus more on the fact that He's coming back to bring us to heaven, then we can live this life with less troubled hearts. We can live with confidence, and we can live with freedom, because the day that He returns will be a joyful, celebratory, and joyous day for disciples. So we can know that when circumstances get hard, when sin is incredibly tempting, when discipleship is challenging, we can remember He's coming back as an encouraging promise to help us to persevere. You know, His promise to come back, it could be today, it could be after you're gone. But either way, we can live in the light of knowing for sure that at some point this is going to happen. You know, the rest of the time this morning, we're not going to try to find some secret messages in the scriptures of pinpointing exactly when Jesus is going to come back. You know, that's not what we're going to do. You can pull Steve Kinnard aside and ask him exactly when this is going to happen. He's actually written a book about end times. It's been republished and retitled The Final Act. Originally, it was called 666 Armageddon and the Antichrist. And, you know, it's an intense title, really. It's not even really a title. It's just topics, you know? From growing up in a Methodist church and for almost 20 years of my life being involved even in an evangelical church community, the world of Christendom gets so wrapped up in trying to predict exactly when Jesus is coming back, right? You know, but Jesus literally said, no one knows when it's going to happen. So I think we got to try to focus more on the fact that it will happen rather than, well, exactly when's it going to happen? We just got to know, look, it's going to happen. And that's what we could focus on. You know, funny story about that book. You know, I was really interested in this as a baby Christian because of how much it had been talked about before I became a disciple in my previous church. And so, you know, I'd read one or two of Steve's books, and I saw that he had one called 666 Armageddon and the Antichrist. And I'm like, I want to read this. So I ordered it off Amazon or wherever. And so it's coming in the package in the mail. And that week that it was coming, somebody had stolen all of our mail from our mailbox, our packages, and then smashed our mailbox. And so then that morning, my mom and I were going for our walk together because we would go for walks. We see the mailbox smashed, all the mail is gone out of it, and realize what happened. So we're walking down the road, and maybe about a few hundred feet down the road, we see a package on the side of the road. Package is torn open, pick it up, see it was a package mailed to me. And then we keep walking another few hundred feet down the road. On the side of the road is this 666 Armageddon and the Antichrist book. So somebody had taken our mail and speeding away, ripped open to see this special present that they got for themselves, pulled it out, seen the title, and just chucked it out the window. It was a smart thing to do. They should have put our mailbox back together with the rest of the mail back in it. You know, so we're not going to try to figure out, well, when's exactly this happening. But I do want to focus on the fact that He is coming back and what that should mean for our lives. Amen? So I'm going to read a pretty sizable chunk of scripture here. And I'm assuming you're okay with that because we're a church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm going to read to chapter 5, verse 11. And then I'm going to read 2 Peter 3, 8 to 15. So just listen to this and try to let it sink in and try to picture some of this. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. These are some incredible passages, aren't they? You know, they tell us that when Jesus comes back, it won't be the same as the way he came the first time. When he came as a baby in a manger in small town Nazareth. When Jesus comes back, the next time he comes will be with thousands of angel armies sounding trumpets, descending from heaven, riding on the clouds. He will bring salvation for his people throughout all ages. The dead will rise to join the living, and all eyes in heaven and on earth will be on King Jesus riding on the clouds. And we will see him demolish Satan and his demons in front of our eyes like it was nothing. And then every knee of every human, animal, and angel will bow, and every single tongue will declare, Jesus is Lord. And we will rejoice that our names are written in the book of life as we rise with him in the victory of our salvation. We will receive new immortal bodies, and Jesus will warmly welcome us into that room he prepared for us. And we will be together with him and each other forever. I think it's going to just be an unfathomably amazing day. And what's amazing about it is that it can happen at any moment. And when it happens, being on God's side that day will mean everything and worth anything to make sure that's where you are. Since this is happening, make every effort to be found at peace with him. You know, what these passages are saying is actually going to happen. And I think grasping this reality of the future is life-changing. It's also comforting for us as disciples, and it's also meant to be compelling for us to live as disciples. You know, I do think this idea of Jesus coming back this way at any time was a major motivator for the early disciples to be as consumed as they were and as passionate as they were about preparing themselves and preparing others for the day of Jesus' return. You know, we know this motivated them through the book of Acts because this is how the book of Acts began. You know, we see them living so passionate and so compelled and so consumed with their discipleship and spreading the gospel in the book of Acts. And what it all started with was Jesus telling them, look, I'm coming back. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. You know, this passage really is the runway for the book of Acts. This is what they started on. This is what started them. Jesus commissions them with the Great Commission, and then he ascends with the promise, I'm coming back to get you. So we can know that the cross and the resurrection, but also Jesus' promise to come back, caused them to live with the love that we see in the book of Acts, the sacrifice that we see, the urgency to spread the gospel that we see, the indignation towards sin that they had, the holiness, the perseverance through intense persecution that they had, was driven so much in part by believing Jesus is coming back to get us and to bring us with him to heaven. You know, if you think about it, the last time that Jesus left them, he was back 3 days later, right? You know, he dies and then he comes back 3 days later. So you can assume that they were probably thinking that Jesus was probably going to come back within a few days or so. Maybe a few weeks, months tops. Probably not even thinking that so much. You know, the scriptures that I read earlier in Thessalonians and Peter, I think it shows that the early church strongly believed that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. I think that was a big part of their belief system and their conviction was Jesus is coming back for us. This world is not our home. And that's what we're putting our hope in, not this life. You know, in Thessalonica, they were apparently worried about what was going to happen to the disciples who had died already if Jesus were to come back soon. That was a concern of theirs because they really thought this was going to happen at any time. You know, that shows that they really thought this was happening soon. The disciples in Acts were really living each day, each week, like this could be the one where Jesus finally comes back to bring us home. You know, I think our tendency can kind of be on the opposite side, right? Our tendency is not to assume it will be soon, but it's to assume it's likely not to be sometime soon. You know, and part of that might be because it's already been 2,000 years. So we're realizing now that God's working on a different timetable than maybe they were thinking back then, right? We're learning God's quick isn't our quick, right? To the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So if God is saying, you know, I'll come back tomorrow, for us, that's 1,000 years have just gone by, you know? So we can understand that. It's been 2,000 years. God is working on a different timetable. So in reality, it could be another 2,000 years before Jesus comes back. Could very well be thousands more years from now. But from another perspective, we today are 2,000 years closer than they were. You know, every day is a day closer, which means that each day, the percentage chance that that day is it is higher than it was yesterday. All right, so each day is more likely than it was before. This should matter in our lives. You know, the idea that Jesus could come back in our lifetime should affect the way that we live. You know, as the due date got closer for Bradley's birth, we took preparation a lot more seriously. You know, we had just moved into a new place, and we basically painted and got every single room in the house ready except his room. Because we knew, well, we've got months before he's even going to be here, you know? But the month before the due date, all of a sudden it was like, all right, we've got to get everything together. You know, we knew that it was coming soon, so suddenly it was paint the room, get the changing table, start stocking up on it. We got to get the things that we need. You know, we started to take it more seriously as we knew it was coming closer. And that's how we should be living as disciples if we're really thinking that Jesus is coming back for us in this life or sometime after we die, is that we know this is happening, so we want to be prepared for it. You know, I want you to ask yourself this morning, how would you be living differently if you thought there was an actual chance that Jesus was coming back soon? In your life right now, what would be different? How would you live your life differently if you thought that Jesus could come back during your lifetime? Would your life look a little bit more like the disciples that we see in the Bible? I know that mine would. You know, wouldn't we set our minds so much more on things above rather than things of this life? Setting our hearts in treasures in heaven rather than in this life. If we really focus on Jesus is coming back and our home is in heaven. You know, if you thought Jesus could come back any week, any day, would you even consider walking away from the faith? Would you even consider, you're like, I'm not leaving God, and he could come back tomorrow. You know, you wouldn't even consider that, and that's how we should be living. That's how we should be thinking. You know, I do think this is one of those pendulum swing things that we need to try to get balanced in our lives. Not becoming fanatics, predicting all these signs and being certain it's happening now. These are the end time signals are happening all around us. You know, we don't want to run all the way to that side. But we also don't want to be all the way on the other side, just kind of shrugging our shoulders and assuming or expecting that we've got all this time. We want to live somewhere in the middle. The bottom line is we don't know. It could be today, it could be in 5,000 years. We have no idea. But in response to that, we should be preparing ourselves for it to be soon and also preparing ourselves for it to be a long time from now. And living prepared for both. You know, at least in pregnancy, you get a due date. That's at least a window of time here, you know? With this, we really don't know. You know, so that tells me we've got to be wise. We've got to plan. We've got to think. We've got to prepare for the long haul. We've got to be ready to make it the rest of our life as disciples. The Bible says, he who stands firm till the end will be saved. But on the other side, we've got to be prepared for it to be at any moment. Each day being right with God matters so much because it could be that day. That's why in Hebrews 3 it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You know, we've got to be ready for the long haul, but also prepared for the short term as well. It's another one of those biblical things we've got to balance in our lives. Living somewhere in the middle. You know, I've defined this as being urgently patient, or actively, proactively waiting, or being patiently expecting. You know, just living somewhere in the middle. What would that look like? You know, how should we be preparing for the long haul? How should we be preparing for it not to be sometime soon? Well, we should have jobs. We should work. This was something in the Thessalonian church was, oh, he's coming back soon. Might as well quit my job. No, we should work. We should do something useful with our hands. We should, you know, he who doesn't work should not eat. We should have jobs and be a light at those jobs. You know, you should continue your education. Should not drop out of high school or drop out of college because, hey, Jesus could come back today. No, we should get a degree, finish school. We should take care of ourselves. We should be healthy because we might have a long life ahead of us to live and we want to live healthy. We should save money and be wise with the way. We should have a budget and think, well, I need to be able to take care of myself and my family for the long haul. You know, we should build lifelong relationships. Because we know that for decades to come, we need people in our life to help take care of each other. We should be digging into the Bible, memorizing passages, writing them on our heart and our mind. Because we know we need the scriptures to keep us faithful and to stand firm for decades to come. You know, we want to grow in our faith. We want to learn. We want to mature. We want to grow closer to God. Because we might have decades ahead of us that we need to stand firm. So on one hand, we need to be prepared for it to be a long time from now. But on the other hand, we do need to be prepared for it to be sometime soon. What does that look like? It means we give wholeheartedly. We serve without holding back because we want to pour ourselves out and have had nothing left when Jesus does come back. We want to be encouraging each other to stay faithful. We want to be eagerly reaching out to people and trying to help as many people be ready for the day that that comes. We want to be urgent about repenting of sin in our life, not letting sin to develop roots and to be long-lasting in our lives. We want to not worry so much about things. If we know Jesus is coming back, we could go, you know what? I don't need to worry about this because I know that Jesus is coming back and my eternal home is in heaven. Now, being prepared for it to be soon can help us to forgive others, to not hold on to bitterness towards different things, and to want to be as close to God as possible each and every day. If we really think Jesus could come back today, then our closeness to God today matters a whole lot more. You know, these scriptures I read tell me that it could be a long time from now, but it could also very much so be soon. And we want to be ready for that. You know, these verses also tell us that this is not something that you want to be caught off guard by. Right? You don't want this to come like a thief in the night where you're like, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming back. I'm not ready. You know, I remember in high school, one night I legitimately thought Jesus was coming back. Like, that was I thought that it was happening. And, you know, I was sleeping. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. My blinds were closed. And, you know, out of nowhere, I woke up to lights, bright lights flashing through my blinds. It's 2 in the morning. I wake up. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, my first thought was, this is happening. You know, I'm like 14 years old. And, I open up the blinds, and there's actually a helicopter coming down and landing in our field. And it was actually a medevac for a car accident that happened on my street. And, you know, my family got out. We ran out to the end of the driveway to check on things, and the ambulance was there and the medevac and all that stuff. But I remember that night having this almost like heart-wrenching panic of Jesus is coming back. You know, and I can kind of remember that feeling in my heart. And I'll tell you, thank God it wasn't, because I was not ready. You know, I was not right with God by any means at that point in my life. And I'm grateful that it was not Jesus coming back. You know, and that's something we've got to really understand is when Jesus comes back, we don't want it to be this panic-stricken thing. We don't want to be caught off guard by this. We want to be looking forward to it and then celebrating with Jesus coming back. You know, we want to ask ourselves, am I ready for Jesus to come back today? If Jesus came back today, how would he find you? You know, in the parable of the 10 virgins, they were all waiting, and 5 were prepared, 5 were not prepared. Are you preparing yourself for Jesus' return? You know, if you're a disciple, you want to be prepared by being eager about repenting of sin in your life, being tied in, loving God with all of you got, with all you've got, and not quitting in your faith. If you're not a disciple, you want to get yourself prepared. You want to study the Bible. You want to fall in love with Jesus. Get to know God. Repent. There's nothing worth not being right with God. Then you want to get baptized as soon as you can to be forgiven of your sins. What are you waiting for? Like was said to Paul, what if God came back today? You know, the day he comes back is going to be the most glorious day for disciples. And it's going to be the worst day of all history for everybody else. We want to be right with God on that day. Make Jesus Lord before he comes back. You know, when he comes back, you want Jesus as Lord to be your praise of allegiance and not your death sentence. This should be something we say in this life, not something we wait until he comes back to say for the first time and to really mean. You know, I love this line in 2 Peter 3:11-12, where it said, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Now, as I've asked before, if you believe Jesus was coming back soon, how would that change you? How would that change your life, your perspective on things right now? How would that change your priorities? How would that change your time with your family or with your friends or with each other? I think we would start to really treasure and value that time as precious. That it's not just another church service. It's not just another family dinner. This is a valuable time here that we could really enjoy and make the most of. You know, how would that view the way that you view your money or the way that you use your money? You know, you wouldn't love it so much. You would want to be generous with it and give cheerfully with it. We see that in the first century churches. They're selling their homes and their fields and giving to help support the progression of the kingdom. How would that change the way that you share your faith? If you believe Jesus could come back at any time, you know, you would be urgent about reaching out to your neighbor, your coworker, your family members. You'd be urgent about trying to get people to study the Bible because you want to help them to be ready as well. You know, how would that affect the things that you're worried about right now? If you really believe, you know, Jesus could come back to bring me to heaven sometime soon, how would that help you to not have your hearts be so troubled? You know, lastly, I'd urge you to think about how this would affect the sin that's in your life right now. What things you're not urgently repenting of. You know, when the trumpet sounds, what do you want to be found doing when Jesus comes back? When that blast goes off, what do you want Jesus to catch you doing? You know, I know about you guys. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to be in the middle of sin when Jesus comes back. You know, and that should help us and urge us to live holy and blameless lives. Now, we're not going to be perfect in every moment. And God is incredibly gracious to us. But knowing that Jesus is coming back and believing it could be sometime in our lifetime can help us to live holy, righteous, and blameless lives. It could comfort us to help us with our worry and our troubles, and it can compel us to live urgently as disciples. And I think Jesus wants us to remember this, to know he's coming back, because it helps us in life to remember the big picture, what it's all about, and then to live in response to that. You know, as God's dearly loved children, his return is a day that we should all be longing for and preparing for. Like I was sitting on that couch waiting for my parents to come back down the driveway to return home. As God's dearly loved children, we should just be longing for the day that we get to be in heaven with God. You know, when you're away on a trip or a vacation, it's a lot of fun, but there's nothing that feels like home. You know, this life is amazing at times, and at other times it's incredibly difficult. But we've got to remember, this world is not our home. Heaven is our home. Your real room is prepared by Jesus for you with God in heaven. We were made for eternity, not just a brief existence in this world. And I'd like to encourage you this morning to really spend some time to think about this, to study it out. To know that at any time, the trumpet will sound. Jesus is coming back. And as disciples, this is the day that we get to finally go to our eternal home. So reflect on yourself this morning. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready today if it was today? Are you preparing yourself for it to be soon? Are you preparing yourself for it to be at the end of your life? You know, let's live a life for God to the full while we eagerly wait and are longing for Jesus to come back for us like he promised, I will come back. And I want to close out just reading some more scripture to you guys. In 2 Peter 3:13 it says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." And it does my heart so much good to think about heaven. And every time I close out reading through the Bible and I get to Revelation, I just love reading in Revelation 21 and 22 about heaven. And trying to imagine what it's going to be like and remembering, this is what I'm doing this for. To go be with God where he will be my God and I will be his people. And he will be there with me. And I just want to close out reading Revelation 21, 1-8 and 22, 12-21. And I want you just to listen. And try to be encouraged by focusing on this incredible home in heaven that God has prepared for us. And that we should live in response to knowing that at any moment, the trumpet could sound. And Jesus is coming back, and this is what he's coming back to take us to. Listen to this, Revelation 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Verse 12 of 22. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.